I'm sure I haven't forgotten anything this time, Marilla, but do you think it will rise? Just suppose perhaps the baking powder isn't good. I used it out of the new can, and Mrs. Lynde said you can never be sure of getting good baking powder nowadays when everything is so adulterated. Mrs. Lynde said the government ought to take the matter up, but she says we'll never see the day when a Tory government will do it. Marilla, what if that cake doesn't rise? We'll have plenty without it, was Marilla's unimpassioned way of looking at the subject. The cake did rise, however, and came out of the oven as light and feathery as golden foam. Anne, flushed with delight, clapped it together with layers of ruby jelly and, in imagination, saw Mrs. Allen eating it and possibly asking for another piece. You'll be using the best tea set, of course, Marilla, she said. Can I fix the table with ferns and wild roses? I think that's all nonsense, sniffed Marilla. In my opinion, it's the eatables that matter and not bloomery decorations. Mrs. Barry had her table decorated, said Anne, who was not entirely guiltless of the wisdom of the serpent, and the minister paid her an elegant compliment. He said it was a feast for the eye as well as the palate. Well, do as you like, said Marilla, who was quite determined not to be surpassed by Mrs. Barry or anyone else. Only mind you leave enough room for the dishes and the food. Anne laid herself out to decorate in a manner and after a fashion that should leave Mrs. Barry's nowhere. Having abundance of roses and ferns and a very artistic taste of her own, she made that tea table such a thing of beauty that when the minister and his wife sat down to it, they exclaimed in a chorus over its loveliness. It's Anne's doings, said Marilla grimly, just, and Anne felt that Mrs. Allen's approving smile was almost too much happiness for this world. Matthew was there, having been inveigled into the party only goodness and Anne's knew how. He had been in such a state of shyness and nervousness that Marilla had given him up in despair, but Anne took him in hand and so successfully that he now sat at the table in his best clothes and white collar and talked to the minister, not uninterestingly. He never said a word to Mrs. Allen, but that perhaps was not to be expected. All went merry as a marriage bell until Anne's layer cake was passed. Mrs. Allen, having already been helped to a bewildering variety, declined it. But Marilla, seeing the disappointment on Anne's face, said smilingly, "Oh, you must take a piece of this, Mrs. Allen. Anne made it on purpose for you." "In that case, I must sample it," laughed Mrs. Allen, helping herself to a plump triangle, as did also the minister and Marilla. Mrs. Allen took a mouthful of hers, and a most peculiar expression crossed her face. Not a word did she say, however, but steadily ate away at it. Marilla saw the expression and hastened to taste the cake. "Anne Shirley," she exclaimed, "what on earth did you put into that cake?" "Nothing but what the recipe said, Marilla," cried Anne with a look of anguish. "Oh, isn't it all right?" "All right? It's simply horrible. Mrs. Allen, don't try to eat it. Anne, taste it yourself. What flavourings did you use?" "Vanilla," said Anne, her face scarlet with mortification after tasting the cake. "Only vanilla." "Oh, Marilla, it must have been the baking powder. I had my suspicions of that baking powder fiddlesticks. Go and bring me the bottle of vanilla you used." Anne fled to the pantry and returned with a small bottle partially filled with a brown liquid and labelled yellowly, "Best Vanilla." Marilla took it, uncorked it, and smelled it. "Mercy, honours, Anne, you flavoured that cake with iodine liniment. I broke the liniment bottle last week and poured what was left into an old empty vanilla bottle. I suppose it's partly my fault. I should have warned you. But for pity's sake, why couldn't you have smelled it?" Anne dissolved into tears over this double disgrace. "I couldn't. I had such a cold." And with this, she fairly fled to the gable chamber, where she cast herself on the bed and wept as one who refuses to be comforted. Presently, a light step sounded on the stairs and somebody entered the room. "Oh, Marilla," sobbed Anne without looking up, "I'm disgraced forever. I shall never be able to live this down. It will get out Things always do in Avonlea. Diana will ask me how my cake turned out, and I shall have to tell her the truth. I shall always be pointed at as the girl who flavoured her cake with iodine liniment. Oh, Gil, the boys in school will never get over laughing at it. Oh, Marilla, if you have a spark of Christian pity, don't tell me that I must go down and wash the dishes after this. I'll wash them when the minister and his wife are gone, but I cannot ever look at Mrs. Allen in the face again. Perhaps she'll think I tried to poison her. Mrs. Lynde says she knows an orphan girl who tried to poison her benefactor, but the liniment wasn't poisonous. It was meant to be taken internally, although not in cakes. Won't you tell Mrs. Allen so, Marilla?
Suppose you jump up and tell her so yourself, said a merry voice. Anne flew up to find Mrs. Allen standing by her bed, surveying her with laughing eyes.
My dear little girl, you mustn't cry like this, she said, genuinely disturbed by Anne's tragic face. Why, it's all just a funny mistake that anybody might make.
Oh, no, it takes me to make such a mistake, said Anne forlornly.
And I wanted to have that cake so nice for you, Mrs. Allen.
Yes, I know, dear, and I assure you that I appreciate your kindness and thoughtfulness just as much as if it had turned out all right. Now, you mustn't cry any more, but come down with me and show me your flower garden. Miss Cuthbert tells you have made a little plot all of your own, and I want to see it, for I'm very interested in flowers. Anne permitted herself to be led down and comforted, and reflecting that it was really providential that Mrs. Allen was a kindred spirit. Nothing more was said about the cake, and when the guests went away, Anne found that she had enjoyed the evening more than could have been expected, considering that terrible incident. Nevertheless, she sighed deeply. Marilla, isn't it nice to think that tomorrow is a new day with no mistakes in it yet?
I'll warrant you'll make plenty in it, said Marilla.
I never saw your beat for making mistakes, Anne.
Yes, and well, I know it, admitted Anne mournfully. But have you ever noticed one encouraging thing about me, Marilla? I never make the same mistake twice.
I don't know as that's much benefit when you're always making new ones.
Oh, don't you see, Marilla, there must be a limit to the mistakes one person can make. And when I get to the end of them, then I'll be through with them. And that's a very comforting thought.
Well, you'd better go and give that cake to the pigs, said Marilla. It isn't fit for any human to eat, not even Jerry Boyt.